Mandatory minicamp coming up tomorrow. Ben Raven from MLive.com covers the Lions. He's going to join us today here on a Monday. Locked on Lions.
You are Locked on Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
And what's good, everybody? Matt Derry with you. It is a Monday edition of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. A Monday, June 5th into Tuesday, June 6th. Thanks for listening, making us your first listen, and checking us out wherever you get your podcast. Big day tomorrow as the Lions open up mandatory minicamp. That means everybody's got to be there. Real practices, 7-on-7s. Everything is full bore for tomorrow. We'll talk to Benjamin Raven, who covers the Lions for MLive.com, kind of a co-beat writer with Kyle Mikey. We love Kyle. We love Ben. Ben also co-hosts the Dungeon of Doom podcast with Kyle. Ben's going to join us coming up momentarily right here on Locked On Lions. Again, thanks for making us your first listen, checking us out wherever you get your podcasts, following us on Twitter at Derry Speaks, at Locked On Lions on Twitter, the Matt Derry Facebook fan page, and as always, watching. Hello to all of you watching on our Locked On Lions YouTube channel, free. And you can subscribe as well on the YouTube channel. Shout out to our everydayers, some of you that listen each and every day on the show, like Johnny Mack and the D, Jade DeSanza, Jeremy Girardi, Adam Sieri over in Australia. Thanks, Adam. Arthur Melkor and more. Thanks to some of our everydayers that are with us each and every day. Before we get Ben on the show, there was a report in theathletic.com today by Kalen Kaler, who's really been all over the betting and gambling suspensions across the NFL. And it said that she basically interviewed five unnamed players in the NFL, just five, not anybody that had anything to do with gambling around the league and the betting on sports and the suspensions. And they all said that they were not informed of the rule very clearly, and that many of these players agree that Jameson Williams kind of got a raw deal because as a young player, he didn't know you couldn't bet on other sports within the facility. And so it kind of gives some credence to, hey, listen, the league and the teams need to do a better job of telling the players, of vocalizing it that, yeah, look, you know, yes, we're brought to you by FanDuel, and yes, there are some sports books inside some stadiums, but no, you cannot bet on the NFL, period, no matter what, and you can't bet on other sports on these sites if you're at the team facility or at the stadium. And, of course, Jameson Williams got popped for 6 games for betting on other sports within the Allen Park facility. My thing is this. You want to keep putting out these reports. You want to still hear from unnamed players saying, we didn't know the rules and it's not real clear. Why is it that there's only been about a handful of suspensions, 7 or 8 suspensions, and that's been it? No one else has been caught yet. Now, I understand there's a second wave coming. There's a report today that a Colts player bet on his own team, was betting on the NFL, and he'll be suspended for a year if that investigation comes to fruition. But the Lions didn't do a very good job with this. Jameson Williams didn't do a very good job. Cephas, C.J. Moore, all of these guys that got suspended. There were enough players that knew not to, right, within the confines of the facility and everything else if it was non-NFL. So it's not like there's been hundreds of these suspensions. It's been below 10. So I know J-Mo is young. He's going to learn from this, hopefully bounce back, and by week 7 is a major contributor here. But let's not, you know, all of a sudden just say all these guys are innocent because the league and the teams didn't do their job. You got to know and you got to ask. So that's where I stand on it. All right, Ben Raven is coming up next. Today's broadcast of Locked On Lions is brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. NBA playoffs, now we're getting interesting. Heat and Nuggets are now tied at 1. How about Miami with a big road win in Denver last night? You have the Tigers playing the Phillies in Interleague this week. You want to bet on all the action? Go to America's number one sports book, FanDuel. FanDuel.com/lockedon. Go there right now. Get that no sweat first bet up to $1,000. FanDuel's the best. They got everything you want there. If you like betting on games, it's easy to use. The app is free. It's safe, it's secure, super easy to use. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon, Sign up that way, and you're off and running with FanDuel. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Always a pleasure to welcome in Ben Raven from MLive.com, one of the beat writers for the Lions, of course, with Kyle Meinke, and the co-host of the Dungeon of Doom podcast. Minicamp, mandatory minicamp start tomorrow. Want to get Ben on today to get into it a little bit. What's up, sir?
Not too much. Fresh back from the West Coast. Got in at 2 a.m, so we're back in the real world, ready to get to minicamp.
Did you have a good time out there? What was the big highlight for you?
Oh, fantastic time. Actually celebrating my dad and my girlfriend's birthday. They shared the same birthday, had a barbecue. We took a train ride through the Royal Gorge and took some beautiful drives and stuff like that. Checked out the Air Force Academy, checked out CU Boulder, where my girlfriend went. Just kind of a good sightseeing and family trip. I don't think I've been on a trip with my parents in about 16, 17 years, so it was pretty nice.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Well, she's got, I don't know how big of a football fan is dating you, but not now if you're a Colorado Buffalo alum, right? You're on the bandwagon now that Coach Prime is there, right?
That's right. I bought a Prime CU shirt while I was on campus, too. Yes. I had to. I saw it. But I kind of was letting her know. I'm like, you know, this is going to be the most relevant they've been in about 25 years, so buckle in.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, speaking of relevant, obviously the Lions are the talk of the town, even, you know, even with kind of out of season. But mini camp coming up. Ben, what are you looking forward to kind of seeing the next few days?
You know, the next few days, it's kind of like watching the new coaches and how they operate. But mainly, it's like Jameson Williams and how that chemistry is building with Jared Goff and just kind of how he continues to progress through his kind of interesting trajectory since landing around these parts. And, you know, minicamp is always a little interesting, you know, mandatory minicamp. So you're taking attendance the first day pretty hardcore. And then, just looking to see how they continue to go, looking how they continue to use Jahmyr Gibbs, how they continue to use Sam Laporta. Like, as we noted on our pod a couple of weeks ago, like there were a lot more two running back looks on the field at the same time, and they did not do that much at all last year. And you think that they would with like a pass catching back like Swift and a short yardage guy like Williams, but it really didn't happen that much. But I think we're going to see that a lot more. And so I'm going to keep looking for that because I think Ben Johnson is really just kind of, it feels like he's got a new page he's going to show this year, just kind of with some of these pieces that they've added, a lot of versatility.
You mentioned Jameson Williams, and I want to ask about the gambling thing in a second, but yeah. On the field, seems like he's looked pretty good in some of these OTAs and in the workouts, but how much pressure do you think he feels? Because really, everything else is just so smooth sailing, and he's kind of the rocky part of the ship.
Yeah, I think he's probably feeling a little bit of pressure just because, I mean, it was set up perfectly for him. It was, I mean, perfect. Redshirt season, he got to play a little last year. That wasn't expected of him. Brad Holmes has said multiple times that he had no expectations for him to play or not last year. Coming to this season, I mean, so he's got to be feeling the pressure because, I mean, you've basically burned a year and a half of that rookie contract. You've burned a year and a half of your first two seasons of the league. But, the last time I saw him, I was not at the OTA last week, and I saw the highlights and I heard that he made a couple of nice plays. I mean, obviously, any play like that is good, but I just – the drops, he's got to kind of clean up the drops in practice. I remember the thing that's really stuck out to me was like Nate Sudfeld just had a beautiful, beautiful deep bomb for him. And it was like one of those plays, an over the shoulder, DeSean Jackson style play that you expect him to make in the end zone because he's burned the two defenders that were responsible for handling him and he didn't handle it. So it's like, does it matter? No. Am I concerned about him? No. He's an ultra talented guy with just traits that you can't teach, but like, you got to get going. It's got to get going. You got to get it cleaned up off the field and you got to play. You got to be available. I mean, this was a step backwards. I mean, now he's got getting questions about Lamar Jackson and Instagram likes every time he steps to the podium. And there's just so much noise. And it's just like, he's the only facet of this team where kind of there's a lot of noise. Negative noise.
His social media is interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah. And it's not something that, you know, I just hear from so many fans and I know you do as well. Especially with social media now, it's just like, oh, did you see what he posted at 3 a.m. or handing out cash to kids in the middle of Detroit for no reason and filming that, going to the boxing match out in Vegas, you know, hours after he was suspended, which, you know, you'd figured you'd lay low. Do you think it's just immaturity? And do you also think a guy like Marvin Jones is going to be so key because maybe Marvin takes him under his wing and says, you know, clean it up, cut it out, stick with me. And that's a guy that can really mentor.
I do think it's immaturity. I really do. He had the one big season at Alabama. He's had like 12 and a half to 14 weeks in the spotlight, you know, and that was at the college level. Now it's just, it's all new, I think, you know. I don't think he was ever expecting to be asked about his Instagram likes and stuff like that. But you bring up a good point, because every time I get a notification that Jameson Williams is going live, it's usually after 2:30 in the morning, no matter what day it is. So I think he's 22 years old. You know, this is still new to him. I think he's very, very immature, not in a bad way. I mean, obviously some parts of it are bad with the gambling suspension, but I do think he's just a kid. And I mean, you hope someone like Marvin Jones. I mean, it's interesting that you say that, because the majority of the questions I've been getting lately through with this new texting service on MLive called Subtext, people just been asking, like, is there anybody taking him under his wing? And I'm just like, well, Marvin Jones is sitting right there. We haven't seen any of that yet, but like, you couldn't ask for a better kind of just like rock solid role model for someone. So, I mean, it's right there. Just, you know, he's got to take advantage of it.
Ben Raven with us, covers Alliance for MLive.com, along with our buddy Kyle Meinke, best beards and facial hair for covering anybody in the business in any sport. Ben and Kyle do a great job. Thanks. One more thing on J-Mo. So now it seems like Lion players, including Kirby Joseph last week with the free J-Mo shirt. Now there's been some reports out there, the Athletic saying, well, NFL players are now coming to J-Mo's defense saying they didn't know about these gambling rules. There's a report today of an unnamed Colts player that might have been betting on his own team, and he would be kicked off the team. But you're down there. Are these guys being told? Are they being reminded? Was it enough that this is something they cannot do, despite the fact that they're brought to you by FanDuel?
Yeah, no, and Dan Campbell did say there's a re-emphasis. Like, obviously, we got to re-educate, put more of a spotlight that was on this. Yes, we told them what they should, could, and can't do with this, but like, obviously that message didn't get through to everybody. I'm not surprised by it at all, because it is such a strange rule. I think, and as you said, as sponsored by FanDuel, I think the players just assumed they could bet on anything. If it wasn't the NFL, they could bet on it, and that is the rule. And then you add in that strange little caveat that like, it can't be from the team facility. I think they just need to focus on, you can't bet on American football. Like, I think it just needs to be something like that, because I get it. And I feel weird even calling Jameson immature about it. Like, he just made a mistake looking over an addendum B on a bylaw in the NFL rules on gambling. You know, I get it. He bet on a non-NFL sport from inside the team facility. That's got to be frustrating. I understand why his teammates are frustrating, and I would be completely frustrated too, but a rule's the rule. So I'm not too worried about that. I'm just worried about the lost time with him. That's the thing that I'm really starting to get a little concerned about, because he needs to play. I mean, that's a year and a half burn on his contract. But yeah, it's fascinating. They've got to clean those rules up.
They do, but what I think is very interesting is that it's not like hundreds of players have been suspended, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that in some states it's not legal. I know in Ohio they finally got sports betting up and running in January. But my goodness, like, it just seems like the Lions had the biggest problem.
No, yeah. That Colts one sounds pretty bad. It sounds like he placed a lot of bets on his own team. And, like, the people who did that in Detroit are gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no question about it. C.J. Moore, obviously, a Quintez Cephas. What else you mentioned on offense? You know, Ben Johnson has said we can be even better, but – the Laporta pickup and just drafting of him, and I've seen some of the clips, and I'm sure you have as well. That could be something really, really good, don't you think?
Absolutely. I've said it time and time again. Sam Laporta is like a perfect tight end / big slot weapon for Jared Goff. He's so good across the middle of the field. He can gain a little bit of separation on those short to intermediate routes. And he's good with the ball in his hands. I mean, seriously, this is what I thought TJ Hockenson was going to be for Jared Goff. I really kind of see a similar role there. I mean, I think Sam Laporta kind of meshes pretty closely to TJ Hockenson, because Hockenson wasn't the blocker that he kind of was advertised that he could be. And I'm not going to expect much out of Sam Laporta in the blocking department for year one or year two, but I think he can be a really intriguing, explosive addition to this offense that you're going to see Ben Johnson kind of move all over the field. I mean, you already see him out wide. You already see him in the big slot. You already see him motioning into H-back and the tight end and stuff like that. I mean, he's a really talented guy who's a lot more athletic than people realize. I mean, this guy's really good with the ball in his hands after the catch. And I mean, that's great for Jared Goff on those play action crossers, those play action, just kind of short looky routes and stuff like that. I mean, get him in space, get him the ball, and he can make a play.
It's going to be weird seeing a former Iowa tight end not just catch it and fall to the ground like CJ did And I know he's a good football player, and Minnesota's got a good one, but you're right. Laporta making more out of it after the fact. That was the one thing that I think was weird always about TJ Hockenson. Would get it and immediately go down to the ground, Ben. It was a little strange.
Absolutely. Outside of that one massive game last year, we had like the 81-yard catch and the 56-yard catch. It was like, oh, my God, that's what happens when he stays on his feet and doesn't do the hold X possession reception.
Yeah, no question. Ben Raven with us from M Live. We come back. I want to ask him about the defense, certain guys, and who might be ready, who might we not see when it comes to a mandatory minicamp over the next 3 days here on Locked On Lions. Ben Raven with us from M Live, covers the Lions, MLive.com, Dungeon of Doom podcast as well with his co-host Kyle Meinke. Defensively, and I brought this up last week, I thought Levi Onwuzurike was making progress. Now I'm hearing, well, they're hoping he'll be ready for training camp. At what point do they pull the plug on this?
You know, I think that if he doesn't play in some capacity this year, that they've got to move on. I think he will get another chance this season. I'm not saying I think he'll play, but I do think he'll get the kind of the full year, because why not? You've rode it this far. But it's a really touch and go. You know, they've been really, really hesitant to say anything that would lead to any optimism regarding him. But like, now they've kind of put it out there. He might be ready for training camp after kind of flirting with the idea we might see him more. The only thing I've seen him do, he's had his helmet off. He's been with the defensive line. He's been doing some like shadow stuff like that. He is moving around. He's jogging around. But like, Tracy Walker is moving better than him. And Tracy Walker tore his Achilles like 7.5-8 months ago. So, I mean, I don't know. I have, as I've said, I don't expect Levi to ever play a game for the Lions again, just because I think I'm not saying I don't think he'll ever play, but I just think the timeline, you know, they're in a different stage of the rebuild than we really expected them to be. They're not just going to kind of get this guy reps to get him reps when they've kind of rebuilt their defensive line with guys like Pascal and Kaminsky and Bugs and drafting Broderick Martin. You got Aleem McNeil. I mean, there's only so many snaps a guy can play. And I mean, basically he's played one season in the last 3 or 4 years, and he's had chronic back injuries and back issues. And it's just kind of hard to bet on him. But like, hey, he gets on the field, training camp. That's what Aaron Glenn keeps saying. Got to get him on the field. Then I'll have an idea. I have no idea right now because he's not on the field.
You mentioned Tracy Walker before. If you had to put a percentage on where you think he'll be this week, and what would you say?
He's going to be down this week. Tracy said that this will be the last time. When we talked to him 2 weeks ago, he said, this will be the last time you see me running on the sideline. I will be 100% cleared by training camp. And I 100% believe him. He wasn't just jogging on the sideline. He was running like a NFL football player, moving around, and he's pretty confident. He had one checkup left with his surgeon, and he didn't sound concerned about that at all. And usually you take stuff like that with a grain of salt, but like, I saw where Jeff Okuda was with his recovery last year. I see where Tracy Walker is in his recovery this year. And it's like, yeah, that guy's going to be ready for training camp. So I mean, that's huge news for that defense. I would put 98% chance on Tracy Walker being ready for training camp. The only reason I leave that 2% is because Achilles are what they are.
And Emmanuel Mosley, also a guy that they're easing back in, and Jerry Jacobs is getting, you know, kind of the reps there. Not a surprise to you, right?
No, not at all. Not at all. You know, they Jerry's the last man standing in that cornerback room for a reason. I mean, he really does fit what Aaron Glenn wants out of his guys. It's just someone that can go up, be tough, be physical against the run, and, you know, not get destroyed every time in coverage, you know, when they need him. But yeah, Mosley, that one's tougher just because he's looked a little, I mean, he's got a giant brace on his knee, but he's been out there moving around, kind of doing the Levi routine a little lesser, I'd say. But if Mosley can be on the field by training camp, I mean, I fully expect him to be the second starter, and Jerry Jacobs kind of be in that Mike Hughes Okuda role, bouncing around and stuff, because I think we might even see Jerry kind of move inside if they need it. Like, if they ever get in a pinch for somebody, I think they trust him enough. Like, Jerry Jacobs is on this roster for a reason. He's going to get snapped somehow, some way.
A lot of edge guys on this team right now, you know, including James Houston, and then some additions here, and certainly bringing John Kaminsky back. Do you see a scenario, Ben, where both Okwaras might not be with the team at the start of the year?
I expect them to be on the team just because so many of those edge guys have some inside-outside versatility. Like, Kaminsky can bounce inside a lot. You'll see that. I think Romeo's got such a team-friendly restructured deal that I think he's going to be in this year. And I still think that Julian Okwara can be something. I mean, he's never going to be a superstar or something, but he's got some spark to him, and he's really had some flashes, and that's somebody, and you hate to say that, but, like, if he can stay healthy, you see something there. I mean, They've got a lot of the inside-outside beefy edge guys, but, like, they don't have a James Houston light, in my opinion, and that could be Julian Okwara. I'm not saying he's got that spark, but, like, that's his type of game if they needed it. I think they'll be both there. I think Okwara is good depth. The younger Okwara is good depth. I would put Romeo as a lock, in my opinion.
Anybody in the linebacker room you're interested in seeing this week and how they progressed?
I'm just staring at Jack Campbell. He's like Aiden last year. It's like, this guy is so much bigger than I thought he was going to be. And like, I knew what, I mean, I'm a lifelong Big Ten football watcher. I knew who Jack Campbell was and what he was about, but he's even more athletic than I thought he was going to be. I mean, he's long, he's tall. I just think as he kind of continues to learn the defense and he's got a great guy to lean on, it's an interesting situation because I think they'll use all four of those guys. I mean, they have to, they're all interesting pieces. They'll all be there, but like, I fully expect Jack Campbell to kind of be there training camp looking different. I'm fascinated to see kind of how he looks once they really start going in those heavy practices, just because, man, he just looks like such a prototypical linebacker with an edge to him.
Look, let's be honest. The best competition at mini camp, kicker. I know you missed the JPR show last week, but, there's Romo kids kicking at 60 yards. Riley Patterson for the 15th time, and obviously Badgley, it never seems like, grasps the position. It seems like Brad Holmes, Ben, wants us to play a guessing game with a kicker. It's been 3 years, and it's kind of where this is again.
Yeah, because you can't rule out Riley Patterson because for some reason they traded a future draft pick for a kicker that might not make it through training camp. So that's a fascinating one. I mean, I never expected them in a million years to trade future assets for a kicker they already cut. So that's interesting. But, yeah, I heard John Parker Romer. I mean, if he's going to consistently hit 55 to 60-yard field goals, like, he's got a real chance at that job because we know what Riley Patterson is. He's money from inside of 49 or 50. He's got some playoff experience. We know who he is. He's an accurate kicker, but he's not gonna save you at the end of the game if you absolutely can't. You know what I mean? You know, he's not that guy. Yeah. Badgley, I like Badgley more than Patterson. He's got a little more juice in his leg. He's a proven, he's a veteran kicker. Badgley's a cool cucumber. Excuse me. Like, he seems like one of those kickers. You know, kickers are just kind of different. Matt Prater was a different guy. Badgley's kind of got that to him. I don't think you can ruffle him, and I kind of look for that in kickers, especially when the competition is what it is. But, hey, Parker Romer's going to keep blasting consistently from that deep, then he's going to be the guy.
Final thing, Ben, how do you look at the division right now with all the weirdness that's gone on? And obviously, you know, turnover in Green Bay, Minnesota can't do what they did a year ago. You wouldn't think. It's tough to win all those close games and come back and win them. And I know there's some people that love the Bears and some like me that aren't buying it yet, but how do you kind of view it?
I'm with you on the Bears. I think they'll take some steps forward this year, but I don't think that's anything better than a 4 or 5 win team again. You know, they've still got a lot of room to grow, but it's a 3-team division. I mean, unless Jordan Love is an absolute disaster, the Packers are going to be there. I mean, that defense might have 8 first-round starters on it. That's a legit defense, a well-coached team with a, you know, I mean, they've got some serious question marks on offense, no question about it. But that defense is good enough to kind of keep them in games this year, especially in an interesting division like the NFC North. But I really do expect it to come down to those two, the two out of the three final matchups there, the Lions-Vikings in Week 16 and then Week 18. I mean, I really think those two games will decide that. I don't expect the Vikings to win 12 or 13 games again. I think it's going to be a 8, 9, 10 win slugfest for this division.
MLive.com's Ben Raven with us. Ben, great to see you.
Yeah, thank you.
You got it. There he is, Ben Raven with us here. Lions mini camp begins tomorrow. We'll have a Tuesday edition afterwards of Locked On Lions. We'll see you tomorrow.